This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Russian Kanison, and Noel Lim. In about 15 minutes, we're going to be speaking with political scientist Wong Chin Huat on whether we will eventually see a no-confidence vote in Parliament. But before that, we're taking a look at the markets.
Well, in the U.S. markets, it closed nearly a two-week low as hopes for a stimulus deal faded. But who knows, right? A deadline has been given this week. We'll see. The Dow closed down 1.4%. The Nasdaq was down 1.7%. S&P 500 down 1.6%. And I think in Asia, it was rather mixed.
Yeah, I think Japan was pretty strong yesterday, up 1.1%, although Shanghai was down 0.7%. The rest of the region was in the green. Hong Kong was up 0.6%, Singapore up 0.4%, and the FBMK LCI was up 1%. Why I said it like that? Who knows? That's one of the mysteries of life.
So this morning, to give us more insight into global markets, we have on the line with us Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Joe, thank you so much for joining us. Now, Nancy Pelosi has set a Tuesday deadline for U.S. stimulus talks. Do you think that U.S. President Donald Trump and Congress will be able to come to an agreement?
Well, I mean, who knows? I mean, this drama has been going on for quite some time. But for what investors should realize, if we don't get the fiscal stimulus package before the election, we'll get one after the election. Now, if we do it earlier rather than later, that helps provide more liquidity to the markets, to the real economy, small businesses, so it would help out. It would help fortify those folks on unemployment lines and so forth. But we're going to get a deal no matter what, and it's hard to call Washington. There's so many moving parts. But a deal is coming. It's going to be probably sooner rather than later, but we're going to get one.
Earnings seasons are on the roll this week. Are there any sectors that you have your eye on, and why those?
Well, you know, we saw the financials just came through, the big banks, and loan provision losses were less than expected, so that's good news. I think the big issue will be around technology, you know, how those companies are faring, you know, given how the run they've had in the third quarter. I think there's going to be a lot of focus on industrials, materials, consumer discretionary, you know, how is the U.S. consumer holding up and how's that filtering to earnings? And so I think that's going to be a key focus. Healthcare, as well as we slowly open up in the pandemic that we're in. So we're going to be watching very closely the guidance and watching, you know, what companies have the position, what companies are doing well. We know the airlines, retail, they're struggling. So that story's out there.
Joe, are you expecting earnings rebound in any particular sector, or is it going to be a flip of the coin at this point?
I think manufacturing, anything that touches manufacturing and transportation, I think we could see an earnings rebound. Because we've seen, you know, more demand for autos, that, you know, whether it's a housing market, and the multiplier effects. So I think we're gonna be pleasantly surprised. The key here is a lot of that's already been priced into a lot of stock. So whether it's the consumer related, transportation and manufacturing, I think there's earnings surprise. But whether that gets a bounce, we'll see. It's gonna be confirmation of the recovery that's underway.
And Joe, you mentioned airlines just now. So how badly is the absence of a vaccine and as well as rising virus cases in the U.S. impacting the aviation sector there?
Well, I mean, the biggest issue for a lot of U.S. airlines is the international travel. That's where they make the most money. And that's just still shut down. And there's really no likelihood of that opening up anytime in this year anyway. The question is, will be second quarter or third quarter of next year. And that's why the vaccination is so important when it comes to the airlines, because they need the international travelers. But that still remains very iffy at this point, whether it's the Asia, Europe, U.S. So, I mean, the airlines, you know, the bump will start with more domestic air travel, and that's starting to pick up. You know, that will get back down with the second wave that we're under. And a lot of people, they're just going to stay home this holiday. Well, Thanksgiving and Christmas, they're going to just stay home or drive or just stay in the basement.
Well, looking on the other side of the Atlantic, ECB President Lagarde described the Eurozone recovery as uncertain, uneven and incomplete due to new curbs on the virus. Do you agree with that view, and is more QE the solution?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And I wish, you know, the policymakers and politicians would listen to the policymakers. Because remember the big fiscal stimulus package they approved, it was a big deal that ECB could issue debt and distribute it to the countries. We're not even close to that distribution yet. That's going to come next year. They need the money now, not later. So you know, so therefore you fall back on the central bank, and that's too much. I mean, here in the United States, it's been both fiscal and monetary policy. Japan, fiscal and monetary policy. You need both bazookas blazing here, or Europe, I'm afraid, will just become the laggard globally amongst the big three, China, the EU, and the U.S.
Joe, speaking of China, they grew by 4.9% in the third quarter with good retail sales and industrial production data. All said and done, was this within your expectations, or should they have seen a bigger growth there?
No, I mean, close to 5%. I mean, China's only one of the few countries in the world that will actually increase its output this year over year. So I think that's in line. I mean, but you got to be careful with the Chinese numbers. You know, how do they derive? You know, is it really investment? Is it consumption? Inventory rebuild? But the good news, China being so important to the global economy, you know, they're back. They're restarting, they're resetting, rebooting. So is the United States, slowly but surely. But we need Europe to come along for that synchronized expansion. So the numbers out of China were important because it does show that there's at least one engine of the global economy that's got some pulse, that has some fire to it. So that's important.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Joe. That was Joe Quinlan of the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. As he says, you know, China's one of the few engines the world has at this point. Analysts did say that, I think up until this point, that China's going to be one of the few countries to report positive growth at the end of 2020, considering that the rest of the world is still in the midst of a pandemic crisis mode. But we also did address earnings with Joe. And, you know, we have also had IBM's results that have come in line with analyst expectations. So they reported revenue of $17.56 billion. Analyst estimates were about $17.54. This is a decline of 2.5%. It's actually a third straight quarter of decline on an annualized basis.
Results were driven by some gains in its cloud offerings, which the company will focus on exclusively after spinning off some legacy business units. And so earlier this month, I think IBM had announced it would spin off some of its managed infrastructure services unit into a standalone public company, and it is also spinning off the non-cloud businesses, which are in decline, while cloud-oriented businesses with actual growth prospects will remain.
Yeah, if we take a look at look at their stock right now, IBM Common Stock was down 0.3% at close, but after hours, it's down almost 3% at $121.90 right now. So that's a bit of a reaction to the earnings. And IBM has really tried to pivot itself away from what it's known for, right? I mean, it's what does it stand for? International Business Machine or something like that? No more machines. They're going to the cloud and they can't. It's just an acronym. They've tried to pivot away from that. They're trying to go to the cloud, and everyone is tapping into that. And whether you can build that infrastructure that companies want to tap into, because, well, companies don't want to keep servers on hand anymore, right? Or at least want to reduce that load on their own side. IBM does have exposure to industries like retail and transportation. I guess that has seen some headwind, right? Because these are sectors that have been challenged by the pandemic.
Absolutely. But do you know what? Looking at tech stories as well this morning, over in Hong Kong, it's been a long time since they've seen demand for Hong Kong dollars been this strong, because stock sales from big Chinese companies like Ant Group have drawn so much cash to the city that it appears the Hong Kong dollar's remained near the strongest it's allowed to trade against the US dollar since April. And of course, in March this year, the Hong Kong dollar also did become more attractive against the dollar after the Fed slashed rates at the time to zero.
Yeah, I've actually seen a local fund manager sending out webinars and stuff like that about whether they want to look at their new Chinese fund that's going to be tapping into the Ant IPO. So if you're buying Ant IPO in Hong Kong, you are buying the Hong Kong dollar, and that's really playing into that. This is going to be a much-watched IPO for many, many reasons, one being digital finance and the other one being in this whole U.S.-China trade war, right? Why they skipped out on the U.S. and listed in Hong Kong.
But we're going to be turning our attention to our local political scene up next after a couple of messages, where we'll be discussing the no confidence motion with political scientist Wong Chin Huat. We're also running a poll asking you, should the no confidence motion against the Prime Minister be the first item on Parliament's agenda? Let us know what you think. So that's happening after these messages. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.